Smoke asks with a laugh. I feel the corners of my mouth turning upward as Smoke walks up to me and cages me against the wall. He looks me in the eyes and I meet his gaze, challenging him, always challenging him.
My little hellion, he murmurs. But tell me something, Frankie.
He brushes his lips over mine, then pulls back, teasing me. He lowers his voice to a whisper.
Do decent people also bend their dead father's corpses like pretzels and shove them in a motherfucking freezer?
That's unfair, I say, talking through my teeth, barely moving my lips.
That's what you don't understand, Smoke explains. In this dangerous game, the one you've decided to play alongside some of the most dangerous people in the world, there are no rules. There is no fair and unfair. There is only dead and alive, black and white. That's it.
Exactly. And a lot of women would be dead if I didn't do what I did. And now they're alive. I push against his chest and make a move toward the stairs, but he pulls me back. A million emotions are running through my mind, along with a million worst-case scenarios. We have time. Tomorrow night, almost 24 hours to figure this all out.
What else you got?
Smoke asks against my neck. My pulse begins to race. What do you mean? I ask, sounding breathless.
Tell me what other secrets you're keeping from me.
Smoke nips at my earlobe, and I can't help the full body shudder that erupts from within. I unwrap myself from his hold and turn to face him. There is one more thing. Smoke watches as I go back to the desk. I lean over and hit a few keys. I've already queued up the surveillance video. I press play, and Smoke watches as Morgan is surprised by someone before it all goes blank. My father was a lot of things. I continue. Reaching in my pocket, I pull out the USB drive Nine gave me and plug it into the port. But a cold-blooded murderer wasn't one of them, at least not in this case. I point up to the screen at the still image that shows a very different picture than the one Smoke had, showing my father walking away. I keep my cursor over the lower right-hand corner. Someone wiped the feed, then altered the photo. Do you know this man?
Fuck. That's Griff.
Smoke's face reddens, his knuckles whiten.
Are you sure it's real? That this one isn't the fake one?
I'm sure, I say.
How sure?
Smoke yells. Positive. Morgan died a year ago, right? Smoke nods. My father died 5 years ago. This picture? The white tux he's wearing? It was a rental that he wore once to his own wedding to my mother years before I was born. It also happens to be the only photo that even the best hacker would ever be able to find of him. Smoke turns and punches his fist through the drywall.
All this time, all this motherfucking time, I'm gonna rip his goddamned head off. Smoke!
I yell. He looks at me, but he's not seeing me. He punches the concrete wall over and over again. His knuckles are bloodied. His arm drips with red. The skin torn, but he keeps going and going. Stop! I yell.
Why?
He grinds. Because we need a plan, I say, not backing down. What happens now? Smoke closes his eyes for a moment, and when he opens them again, he's refocused. He smirks and lights a cigarette.
Now, he chuckles wickedly, now Griff and everyone he's ever known and loved dies.
Smoke, look at me! Look at me! I yell, getting in his face. He looks over my head, but I pull his face down and press my nose to his.
Smoke, calm down. There's nothing anyone can do or say to get me to calm down now.
I step back. Rip off my shirt and shove my shorts to my feet.
That's not a fucking good idea right now, Frankie.
Smoke warns,
I step closer, pressing my body to his.
Well, someone once told me I was dumb. Seems fitting, don't you think?
Smoke. I'm so fucking wound up. There's no turning back. No going back to pretending that I don't want this girl more than my next fucking breath. I don't want to be careful with her. She's not going to break, although the thought of breaking her in, makes me salivate. I'm not going to be gentle. I don't think I can be, I rasp, pulling her slender body to mine. I place my hand at the delicate curve of her hip and splay my fingers out on the pert top of her high, round ass. I dig my fingers into her flesh, and her mouth opens and her eyes close. Not now. Not after what you just showed me. Frankie doesn't say anything. Instead, she presses her lips to my neck. My little fucking manipulator. Look at me, I demand, needing to see her face. Frankie opens her eyes and blinks rapidly. She looks deeply into my eyes and shakes her head from side to side.
I don't want gentle. I just want you, she whispers. All of you.
I growl, and then my lips are on her. She wants all of me, so I give it to her. All 6'3" of barren soul and misguided morals. All of my broken black heart and corrupt soul. All of the nothing I am is now hers. She's my victim, and I'm her tormentor. She's my prey, and I'm the pariah. She is mine to do with what I please. And what I please right now is her to come. Make her scream my name. Make her feel every inch of my desire for her, and show her she's always belonged to me. I want to see her tears of pleasure. I want to hear her screams of pain. I want her moaning my name. I want it all. I have it all, and right now there's no going back. I'm going to take it. Take her. Because she is mine. There's a tug of war going on between us, and I'm losing my grip on the rope. I've been on the wrong end of a gun, but this, whatever it is between us, that's new for me, and far more frightening than a bullet to the fucking head. But what's even more terrifying? Not acting on it. Not feeling her skin on mine. Not plundering her body like the half-starved man I am. Starving for her. Oliver. It's like my body is no longer my own when I take her hand and pull her to me. When I press my lips to hers. When I peel off her clothes, lay her down like she's more precious than a 10-pound diamond. She's the sky, and I'm the wind. We're a matching set. We fucking belong together. I'm tired of fighting it. Tired of being alone. Tired of not being inside of her again. I'm just fucking tired. Yet looking at her beneath me on the cement floor of the basement with her father's frozen corpse only a few feet away, I feel a new energy coursing through my veins. And I know that energy is courtesy of Frankie. I fuck her slowly. With my entire being, I fuck her. The pleasure is enormous. And it's not just in my cock. It's everywhere. It's not knowing where I end and she begins. It's some other world shit I never thought could exist. Everything with Frankie is new. Fucking is new. Kissing is new. This feeling in my gut like I could break her in half and break me along with it is new. It's because I fucking love her. The very thing I thought I was incapable of has been given to me by this girl. A gift I won't ever be able to repay. So I thank her for it. Not with my words, with my body. I thank her in every way I can. Fast, slow, pounding hard. I make sure she understands the depth of my gratitude before sending her into an orgasm that has her digging her heels into my lower back and screaming my goddamn name.
Chapter 43. Frankie. Before I shut down the monster, I send an untraceable message to Nine and hope he understands what I'm asking him for. Aren't you going to send the text to Griff? I ask Smoke as we ascend the stairs. It's already light out. We've been in the basement all night. Smoke tucks the phone in his pocket.
Not just yet. We've got a little time. I'll send it later. Griff can wait to find out Frank's dead while I decide how to go about killing him.
I don't suppose you're hungry, I say. Neither of us had eaten since the day before.
Fucking ravenous.
Smoke rubs his stomach, his abs flexing under the thin material of his t-shirt. I lead him to the kitchen and find dried pasta and a jar of marinara in the pantry. I take some ground sausage from the freezer and defrost it in the microwave. Smoke watches me as I brown the meat and add it to the sauce to simmer. When I'm done and set the plate in front of him, he leans in and smells the food like it's something to be savored. It's not much, but it's all I can manage with what's here, I explain. Smoke digs in like it's the best thing he's ever tasted, and something about that makes my heart flutter. He moans in pleasure while he chews, and I lean forward on the counter to hide my hardened nipples.
By far the best I've ever fucking had, Smoke says.
But he's not looking at the food. He's looking at me. I blush, then, feeling uncomfortable under his unyielding gaze, I go back to my own food and change the subject. I'm sure there are plenty of other women out there who've made you better food than this. I stab at a rigatoni and pop it into my mouth. It is good, but as I suspected, it's not great by any means. Smoke's answer surprises me.
I've never had any other woman cook for me before, besides Zelda. There's wounds peppered in his voice, a vulnerability in his eyes.
It makes me want to take care of him, cook for him something better than dried pasta and canned sauce. I've never had anyone cook for me either, I confess. At least, I don't think. I don't remember much about my mom. I was too young when she passed, so I'm not sure how she was in the kitchen. And, well, my dad. You know that story now. Smoke's hand slides across the table and briefly covers mine. He squeezes my hand, then slides it back and returns his concentration to his food, as if nothing had happened. As if he hadn't just wrecked my entire world with one fucking touch of my hand. Chapter 44. Frankie. Smoke's upstairs in the shower. I'm in the kitchen, having stayed behind to wash the couple of dishes and throw away anything in the fridge that could be rotting. I open the refrigerator, then realize my concern was pointless. Can beer go bad? I mutter to myself, grabbing a bottle from the six-pack, popping the top off against the edge of the counter. I take a sip. It's not super fresh, but it's not completely skunked either. I shrug and take another sip, then set the bottle down next to the sink. I turn the radio on and grab a sponge to scrub out the dried marinara sauce from the bottom of the pot. I'm singing along to Stupid Girl by Garbage, when a hand covers my mouth from behind, muffling my scream. I drop the pot into the sink. Water spills over the edge onto my feet.
Shh, Sarah, it's me, it's Duke. Don't scream.
Duke releases my mouth and spins me around. I'm breathing hard. I lower the ladle poised above my head in strike position. What are you doing here? I whisper, glancing up the stairs. I can still hear the water running from the bathroom.
I was delivering groceries next door and I saw you through the curtains. I just wanted to make sure that you're okay. I haven't seen you in school, not since the day the cop dragged you out. What was that all about, anyway?
This isn't the time or the place for that story, I say. You've got to go. I shove him toward the door, then stop. How did you get in here, anyway?
Duke smirks, puffing out his chest with pride. I broke in weeks ago through the basement window when I thought I'd find your decaying corpse somewhere in the house. But I found nothing,
No sign of you, but all your shit was still here. Where the hell have you been? You disappeared off the fucking planet. I can't help but smile at the concern in his voice. I promise I'll tell you everything, but I can't tell you now. You've really gotta go. I push him toward the door and unlock all the locks. Before I can open it and give him the gentlest of shoves over the threshold, he puts his hand on the door to prevent me from opening it. He takes my hand in his.
Duke,
I whisper yell. Duke looks down like he can't believe he's holding my hand again, rubbing his thumb over my fingers. I missed you is all. I'll go, just tell me that you're okay, that you're going to be okay, that whatever is going on with you isn't a life or death thing. I'll be okay, I tell him, I promise. Duke flashes his winning smile. Good. Then I'll see you back at school? He asks, removing his hand from the door. I exhale. I'm not sure, I say, dropping my shoulders. I reach for the door. Oh. Duke stops me from opening the door again. I'm not expecting Duke to wrap his arms around me and press his lips to mine. They are still as soft and skilled as ever, but even though they are warm, his lips feel cold, wrong. I don't want this. I don't want him. He doesn't smell like oil and cigars and soap. I push on his chest and disconnect my lips from his, just as a deep voice cuts through the space between us. Get the fuck away from her. Smokes, standing less than 10 feet away, wearing only his opened jeans. His hair is wet and slicked back. Beads of water fall down his chest as he moves. His feet are planted wide. Dark eyes are cold, flinty. I can see his quickening pulse through the throbbing vein under the pocket watch tattoo on his neck. He raises his gun at Duke. Fuck, Duke swears. He pales, blinking rapidly as if he can't believe what he's seeing. He shuffles backward and forgets the door is still closed, hitting the back of his head against it. Smoke, don't. He laid his hands on you, Smoke seethes. The only reason I haven't already fired is you're standing too fucking close to him, so step away, Hellion. Smoke cocks the gun. I step in front of Duke. No. Duke is my friend. You let all your friends stick their tongues down your throat? I knew you weren't okay, I hear Duke whisper from behind me. I am okay. The only person who isn't going to be okay is you if you don't leave, I say, turning to Duke. Now go, and don't say shit about this to anyone. I mean it. It's important. I promise I'll explain all this later, but please, I need your word, Duke. Duke glances wide-eyed over my shoulder to Smoke, and then back to me. I don't need to look over my shoulder. You've got it, he says on a shaky voice. He feels the door at his back, and when his hand connects with the handle, he turns it quickly and stumbles out. Smoke steps in front of me. Before you ever think about touching her again, think about this. Any part of you that comes in contact with her, I'm going to rip off your fucking body with my bare hands. Duke scrambles backward and runs for the grub train car. Smoke steps back and closes the door. I take a step back from the fuming volcano before me. You fuck him? No, I toss back. Now it's my turn to be mad. I cross my arms over my chest and jut out my hip. He's my friend, or he was my friend. A friend? Who you let kiss you? Smoke closes the distance between us, his nostrils flare. Sometimes, I admit, swallowing hard. I remain defiant, pushing out my chest, and sometimes more. More? Smoke questions. The word is a rumble in his throat and touches me right between my thighs. I press them together. He's so close now. Water drips from his hair onto my t-shirt. I swear to fucking Christ, Frankie, I need one good reason why I shouldn't chase after that motherfucker and paint that ugly-ass green car of his red with his own fucking blood. Smoke, he was my sort of friend. When I had to step away from the world, he's the only person I let in, because he was nice and he was safe. He dated all the girls in my school, so I knew he wasn't looking for anything serious. So yes, from time to time he came over, brought me groceries, and kissed me. Sometimes a little more. Never more than what I've given you, ever. Smoke's shoulder muscles seemed to relax, even if just a fraction. His knuckles, on the other hand, are still white. My little hillion. He brushes my hair from my eyes. My shield is down, along with all the other defenses I've tried, and failed to keep him from getting to a place he can really hurt me. And I don't mean physically. Physical hurt is nothing compared to what Smoke can inflict on me now, because he's broken through. He's inside. And there's no turning back. I'm terrified, more so than in that prison cell as his captive. I try to remain defiant. I stick out my chest and straighten my shoulders, holding my chin up high. And don't you expect me to apologize for it either. I won't. Duke kept me company. He made me laugh. He was my friend, my only friend. I press my flat hands against Smoke's warm, wet chest, and a current runs through me, zapping my arm hairs to attention. My breath catches, and I glance up at Smoke. He's looking at my arms, and I know he felt it too. I lean into him. He smells like fresh soap and toothpaste. I remember I'm trying to make a point, so I don't inhale deeply as much as I want to. Duke was there for me. I had nobody, I say, then pause, rethinking my choice of words. I have nobody. Smoke tilts my chin up. Our eyes meet. The anger is still written all over his face, from his furrowed brows to his tight jaw. But there's something else there. That looks a lot like concern. You have me. Smoke whispers so low, I think I might be imagining it. Do I? I regret the words as they leave my mouth. Smoke's answer is pressing his lips to mine in a slow and tender kiss that shakes me to my very foundation. He tells me everything I need to know with his lips, his tongue. The uncontrollable man was showing me control. I'm lost. To him. To this. To us. Forever has passed when we finally come up for air. My skin is flushed, lips swollen, pussy throbbing with unrelenting need. My heart stops. I do have you. I say, running my hand through his wet hair, keeping my fingers tangled within it. Yes, you do have me. Smoke nods. His forehead falls to mine and my heart starts beating again. His pupils are dilated. His dark eyes are glossy. His words lick their way across my skin. He lifts me into his arms, my legs instinctively wrapping around his waist. Now I'm going to have you.
Chapter 45. Smoke. We're lying in bed. Frankie's bed. Some tiny, frilly thing that smells like her. Frankie is curled up around me, her leg hiked up over my thigh. I send the text to Griff. Frank Elburn is dead. It's done. Not even 3 minutes pass. My phone rings. You found him and killed him without my permission? Where's my fucking money? Griff snaps. That asshole is the only one who knows where my money is, and he better have told you before you ended him. I didn't kill him, I snap back. The fucker was slumped over when I got here. And Griff? I'd watch my tone if I were you. I'm not one of your boys, and I ain't a yes man. I wasn't the one who killed him. I think his ticker just gave out. So remember who you're fucking talking to. There's a moment of silence before Griff speaks again. I'll send a team for his computers tomorrow. Maybe they can track down my fucking money. Send mine while you're at it, I say. What the fuck do you want me to do with the girl? I don't have to pretend to sound annoyed because this fucker is grating on my every nerve. More than usual. I look over at Frankie, the sheet draped haphazardly over her tits, her shiny dark hair splayed all around the white pillow. She wakes with a flutter of eyelashes and her deep blue eyes meet mine. I'm done for. I might be ordered to kill her by Griff, but I can't imagine a world without her in it. Besides, she's already killed me, or at least the person I used to be. Whatever the fuck you want, Griff snorts. Dispose of the girl, but before you go, move Frank's body off the desk so my team has complete access to his computers when they get there tomorrow. Maybe second time is a charm and they can track down my fucking money. I'll transfer your funds now. The line goes dead, and I stare at the phone. Griff wasn't his usual self. There was no small talk, no questions about my future plans, no comment about my one-man team. Something is off. Not to mention this was the first time he'd hung up on me and not the other way around. Is everything okay? Frankie asks sleepily. I click the burner phone shut and set it on the nightstand. As much as I want to wrap my arms around her and sink into her again for a much-needed repeat of last night, something isn't sitting right with me about that call. About Griff's demeanor. Did he buy it? Yeah, I say softly. But I'm going over the conversation in my mind for the 100th time in the last few seconds, searching for the knife in the needles. What is it? Frankie asks, sitting up and wrapping the sheet around her chest. It hits me like a bullet to the back. Shit. I leap out of bed. Get dressed. We gotta go, and we gotta go now. For once, Frankie listens and starts pulling on her clothes. I do the same. What happened? She asks, shoving her feet into her shoes. He told me to remove your old man from the desk to give his team better access to the computers when they get here, I tell her. So? She asked, hopping up and down to fasten her jeans. I grab my vest off the chair. So the problem is, my text said that I found your old man slumped over dead. Didn't say shit that he was at the computer or at a desk. Frankie's eyes went wide with understanding and fear. Cameras? I nod. Fucker saw and heard everything. Shit, she says, pushing her feet into her shoes. He knows it was you and not your old man. He'll be coming for us soon. I bet his men are almost here already. I have to tell you something, she says. Not now. Right now we have to get the fuck out of here. I take her by the arm and lead her from the room just as the window of her bedroom shatters. Glass shards pierce my back. I hear the bullet whiz right by my ear before exploding into the wall a few inches over Frankie's head. Over the unending, unyielding barrage of gunfire, the urge to protect Frankie is downright overwhelming. It's my only goal. My only mission. The most important fucking job I've ever had. While the house explodes around us, a realization hits me harder than my bullet. I'm in love with Frankie Hellburn.
Chapter 46. Frankie. There's so much gunfire, I'm surprised we make it down the stairs without being hit. The walls are exploding all around us like they're made of paper. Smoke's grip on my hand is so tight, it's almost crippling, but it's my only source of comfort, so I don't dare tell him to let up. We race through the woods and the gunfire follows. Smoke stops, tugs on my arm and lowers me to the ground. He pushes me toward a large tree with a hole no larger than a couple of feet hollowed out at the bottom of the trunk. Hide in here, Smoke says. Voices shout to one another in the not-too-far-off distance. I'm a huge moving target. They'll spot me faster than you, but I can outrun them. Stay here, stay quiet. I'll lead them away from you. No, don't go, I whisper with a sob. Everything in me hurts. My muscles, my heart. I can barely see him through the blur of my own tears, like I'm looking up at him from underwater. I'm drowning in the depths of my own misery. Every breath I suck in is killing me. My heart hammering out a hard SOS to the rest of my body. Meet me here in the morning, he says, reaching into the inside pocket of his coat and producing a black Sharpie. If I'm not there, if I don't make it, no. His grip on me tightens.
He tilts my chin up so our eyes meet. His voice isn't louder, but it's sharper, more precise, like he wants to tattoo his words into my memory. Listen, Hellion, and listen good. First light, I want you to head to this address. I hold out my hand, thinking he's going to write on the palm of my hand, but he surprises me by pushing the fabric of my dress up my leg and pulls out a pen, writing directly on the skin of my upper thigh.
Less obvious, he mutters.
When he's finished, he leans down and blows air over the ink, and then runs his fingers over it to make sure it's dry.
Take this,
he says, unclasping a pair of the cuffs from his wrist and clasping them around mine.
Show it to them. They'll know I sent you.
Why? Won't you be there?
I'm trembling. My lip quivers.
Is this goodbye or just goodbye for now?
Smoke brushes his thumb over my cheek. Always with the questions,
he says, a sad smile on his beautifully scarred face. I'm so afraid I'm going to lose him, but I can't ignore the jolt of desire that makes me ready for him, even though it's possible that we'll never be together again.
I'll do everything I can to meet you there, but if I'm not there by the time you get there, ask for Bear. He'll keep you safe.
I thought you said you don't have any friends, I say with a sniffle. I've never cried in front of anyone before, but I don't care. There's nothing left to hide, at least not from Smoke.
Not anymore. I don't,
Smoke explains, yanking the material back over my thigh and pushing me further into the cutout in the tree.
He owes me a favor.
Don't leave me, I hear myself beg. I'll come with you. The sound of gunfire in the distance is all the argument Smoke needs.
It's the only way to keep you safe,
he says softly. He tenderly brushes his rough thumb over my cheek, and I can't help but to lean into his touch. I close my eyes briefly, then look up at him through my wet lashes. More gunshots. This time they're closer. Smoke looks over his shoulder and then back to me.
First light,
he repeats, with a much too brief, searing kiss to my lips. I can't find the words to protest as he places branches over the cutout in the trunk to conceal my hiding space. I hear him jog off, and I silently cry into the dark space. I pull my knees to my chest and crawl as far back into the hollowed-out stump as I can. Every gunshot I hear feels like it's a direct hit to my heart, because with each one, there's a possibility that come morning light, Smoke won't be there.
Chapter 47 Smoke. I move through the woods like a wild animal because I am a fucking wild animal. It's dark, but I use instinct to creep up behind Griff's men. I slit one's throat. The blood sprays in my face. It's warm and wet, and I don't bother wiping it off as I drop his body quietly to the ground. I move without making a sound. My boots don't even crunch against the fallen leaves. I lay another man out, knife to the base of his spine, and then another, stab and twist the neck. I feel like a kid again. These woods are my home. I breathe in and use the smell of pine to fuel me forward. My hands are covered in blood. Not an inch of my skin can be seen through the thick red. I just killed for her. I've killed 1,000 times before, but this was different. This meant more. I down another and another man until all that's left is me and the sins I've committed. I sheathe my knife. It's daylight. I know I told Frankie I'd meet her at the club, but I go back for her anyway. She's not there, but the cuffs are. And the cuffs are covered in blood. No! I roar, racing through the woods. I race back to the townhouse where thankfully the van is intact. I speed the entire way to the lawless MC clubhouse with my foot slammed to the floor. I run it right up to the gates and scare the shit out of Nine, who's talking to the prospect standing guard. Is she here? I ask, pushing him to the side and running through the gates. The fuck happened to you? The prospect asks. I pull my gun and aim it at his skull. Is she here? I, he stutters.
I'm here, a voice says, and I spin around to see Frankie. Leaves in her hair, clothes torn. In one motherfucking piece, Frankie. Oh, thank fuck.
Chapter 48. Smoke. Guest room's two doors down on the right, Nine calls out as I race to Frankie and scoop her in my arms. I carry her into the room and slam the door shut, pushing her back up against it. I've heard love described as clean or pure. I've heard it a million times in a million different ways. But it's always been like this big, mythical, unreachable, shining white ball of fucking glitter. It wasn't real. Until now. Which makes me think that even though what I'm feeling for Frankie is strong, there's no way it can be love. Because there isn't a damn thing clean or pure about the thoughts I have involving her. Nothing angelic about the things I dream day and night about doing to her. In fact, my feelings toward her feel like they're sending me more into the darkness than the light. More toward hell than heaven. She's not an angel here to guide me toward a better path. She's a demon like me, here on earth to do God only knows what. What she has done is make me feel like I've lost my fucking mind, because around her I don't feel wrong. The things I've done to her. The things I've done with her. If each person is only given a certain amount of feelings, of love, then there's no way she could feel the same, because there's no way I'd let her waste it on me. All thoughts about how we don't fit together are put on pause, because Frankie's eyes are wide as she looks me over. The blood, I realize. I turn to head toward the bathroom to grab a towel, but she reaches out her hand to stop me. The energy in the room shifts like someone's left a torn wire in an open puddle. Frankie gives me a look. She's silently asking me if I can feel it too. I give her a small nod because it's all I can manage. My words have left me along with the air in my lungs, because with her tangled hair and long lashes touching her cheeks when she looks down to the floor, words just don't seem like enough. I'm rock fucking hard for her, throbbing, aching, not just my cock. My mouth waters at the thought of tasting her again. My fingers twitch at the anticipation of touching the nakedness beneath her t-shirt. Are you sure? I ask. I want you, just as you are. Bloody, beautiful smoke. My little hellion. We crash into one another in the center of the room, and I can feel the pressure at my back, as if we're being pushed together by a force bigger than ourselves. Just two pawns in a game that's no longer about life and death. It's bigger and more complicated and more everything. She pulls back as if she can read my thoughts and stares up at me for a beat before closing her eyes. She sucks in a breath and I'm lost. To us. To her. Those eyes. That shiny black hair. Those soft, fuckable lips. Her mouth is calling to me once again, and Lord fucking help anyone who tries to get in the way of me answering. She doesn't want me clean. Frankie wants me dirty. Real. And I want her. Any way I can fucking have her. She belongs to me. Frankie Hellburn is mine. She isn't under my skin. She's fucking torched it. My flesh burns for her. She's the flame and the balm, both painful and soothing. I want more of her. All of her. She owns me. Body, soul, bloody hands, along with whatever the fuck is left of my heart. It's hers. All of it. I'm not just obsessed or consumed by Frankie Hellburn. I lift her into my arms. Her legs wrap around my waist, and her lips crash together. I'm bullets over barrel in motherfucking love with her.
Frankie. Our teeth clank together as he lifts me in his arms and tosses me down on the bed. He rids himself of his clothes and mine, revealing his thick, swollen, purple-headed cock
that bobs against his belly button as he pulls me to the edge of the mattress and devours my lips and neck with his tongue, nipping at my earlobe with his teeth. He trails down my jaw, and I can't help but lift my hips and rock into the air. I need to feel him, in me, around me. I need him to show me that I'm his now, more than ever, because Smoke doesn't know that tomorrow everything is going to change, and I selfishly need this, need him. I need to be his tonight, because by the time the sun's first rays hit the ground, I'll be gone. I've already arranged everything with Rage and Nine. Griff won't stop until he gets to me, and he'll kill anyone and everyone in the process. I'm going to give Griff what he wants. Me. And in the process, I hope to give Smoke back a piece of himself, a piece he doesn't even know he's missing yet. But right now, it's just me and the bloodied, beautiful man before me. Smoke bites the inside of my thigh, then crawls up my body, lacing his fingers through my hair and yanking to expose my neck to him. He kisses and sucks on the sensitive skin behind my ear, and I feel a buzzing in my nipples and pussy. Awareness. Pleasure, anticipation. His hard heat rushes up against my wet folds and I buck up off the bed. My core painfully empty and clenching. Please, I beg. Smoke growls against my skin, then pulls back for a brief moment to look me in the eyes and press a hard kiss to my mouth. A deep kiss. A kiss that both apologized and made no apologies. A kiss that makes me feel alive. Special. I'm loved by him in a way that no one else on the planet could ever love me. He pulls back to hover over me, bracing himself on both sides of my head on the bed. His biceps and forearms flex with his every movement. His tattoos dance as he lowers himself down my body, lines his cock up with my already painfully ready pussy, and pushes in with a groan that sounds like a love child of love and lust. I meet him stroke for hard stroke, lifting my hips, pulling him closer. For a long time we just stare in each other's eyes until Smoke tries to speak. I want you to know, he says before growing frustrated and stopping. I know, I tell him, feeling a tear fall down my face. I know. Smoke picks up his pace, pounding into me harder and harder, faster and faster. He's giving me everything he's got, and although he thinks it's not much to me, it's everything. He's everything. Smoke's powerful, and I don't just mean in his sculpted muscles like the ones on his ass that I squeeze with my hands each time he pushes into me. I mean powerful in mind, spirit. He may be a monster, but he was right. He's my monster. I feel the pressure mounting in my core and see the cords of Smoke's neck pull tight. He's close, and so am I. You're mine. He tells me, his nostrils flaring as he picks up his pace, hammering hard into me until I see stars. You're mine, he says louder, pushing even faster and harder, and I realize he's trying to fuck those words into me. Yes, I pant as my orgasm takes over and pushes through my body like a cannon shot, pulse after pulse of pleasure like I've never felt explodes from my every nerve ending. Until I can only see white behind my eyes. Smoke grunts, holding my hips in place while he pounds into me a few more times before roughly grabbing my face and forcing me to look him in the eyes as he comes hard and hot deep inside of my body. Mine, he says while still thrusting through the last of his orgasm. His voice turns to a whisper, and he closes his eyes. Always mine. The orgasm continues to tear me apart limb from limb. I welcome it. Never in my life have I ever wanted so badly to be in pieces. I wanted to be scattered on the wind like ashes, so small and so many, I can't ever be put back together. Smoke has both broken and healed me. I'm shattered, and I'm complete. I'm so in love, and I'm scared out of my fucking mind. But that won't change what I must do. It feels so good, it hurts. I come with tears seeping from the corners of my eyes. I love him. The good, the bad, the violent, the brutal, the bloody. I love all of him. Smoke's face twists as I feel him explode inside of me in long, wet, hot spurts that fill me to the brim. I come again, squeezing around him until my vision is blurry, and all I see are stars and blood and smoke. A few hours later, I awake to a knock at the door. Smoke doesn't bother covering himself when he walks to the door, the rounded globes of his ass and his half-hard cock on full display, much to Nine's displeasure. "Cover your junk and head upstairs. The boys want to have a talk," he says. Smoke grunts and stares him down. "Fine. Please, Smoke, will you come up the fucking stairs?" Smoke shuts the door. "I'll be back, Hellion," he says with a quick kiss. He dresses quickly and heads out. I wait a few minutes until I'm sure he's upstairs to get dressed. I leave the USB drive Nine has given me on the pillow. I leave without looking back.
Chapter 49 Smoke. "Where's Rage?" I ask. "Skinning the neighborhood cats," Preppy jokes.
"She was with Nolan in St. Augustine. They're on their way back now. Should be here soon," Bear says, the VP of the club. We've got a lot of history between us and a shit ton of mutual respect.
"I'm still in shock you let her convince you to join your club," I say, lighting a smoke. Bear shrugs and looks me in the eye.
"Would you have done any differently?"
I shake my head.
"Fuck no.
I know better than anyone it's better to have Rage with you than against you."
"You two still have some unresolved business," King says.
It's a statement, not a question. King, otherwise known as King of the Causeway, rounds out the trio in the room. These cats couldn't be more different, but they're tighter than a nun's vagina. They run Logan's Beach and everyone in it like the white trash mafia.
"Not really," I say. "I think we might get there, though."
"You know, you say no connections, no relationships, but you're one shit-talking motherfucker if I have ever met one," Preppy says, cocking his eyebrows at me. "'Cause I saw you almost take out half this fucking MC just to find her when she was standing like 10 feet from you earlier."
"If you stand in between me and her, I'll take you out too," I warn, feeling myself heat and readying myself for a fight.
"Preppy's right," King says.
"I am?"
Preppy's eyes widen in shock. King lights a cigarette and continues.
"It's not just the girl either. You say you ain't on no one's side, yet you saved Preppy in the hospital. He wasn't one of your jobs. He wasn't your business."
I think about his words and reply with a half-truth. "No, but I had another job at that hospital. Didn't need any shit going down while I was trying to move bodies from the morgue."
"Aw, shut the fuck up, Smokey," Preppy says. "I don't have time to warn him about his upcoming death if he calls me Smokey again, because the kid talks without taking a breath between sentences. Rapid fire. A tongue like a Gatling gun. You didn't have to do shit to help me, and you know it. You could have done your job without getting involved in our shit. You did it because you wanted to."
Fuck, I was right. I could have. But that didn't mean I was going to admit it.
"Trust me, this will go so much easier if you just admit it," King said. "Also, it'll get him to shut the fuck up faster."
"Admit what?" I ask, wondering exactly what this fucker is getting at. Preppy places his hand on my shoulder, and I glare at it like he's just stabbed my grandma. But he ignores my unease and continues.
"That you love us," he sang.
"Can't we just do this the old-fashioned way and stab each other? Or maybe a rousing game of Russian roulette," I ask. "That could be fun." I down the glass of whiskey Bear hands me. "I thought you three were ruthless sons of bitches. Can't we just have a shootout like the good old days?" King chuckles and shakes his head. He's got a smile on his face that tells me he's been there before, but there is still no way I'm admitting to anything. He adjusts the thick black studded belts he wears wrapped around his forearms. I know from personally seeing him use them, they aren't for decoration. "How about a compromise?" I ask, flicking Preppy's hand off my shoulder.
"What kind of compromise you thinking, darling?"
Bear cocks his head, and much to my dismay, he seems amused rather than annoyed.
I'll admit that there are a lot of other people I'd rather kill than you three, I offer. That's the best I've got. Preppy straightens his bow tie and claps his hands together. He bows his head and then looks back up with a huge smile on his face that seems far off for someone who's been through all he has. You do love us, he exclaims, bouncing on his heels. I could just kiss you. Come here, you big burly bitch. Baron King laughs as Preppy leaps into the air, heading straight for me. I sidestep and he goes crashing onto the couch. Rebounding without missing a beat, he rolls onto his back, smile still in place. You're way too happy for someone who's been tortured the way you have, I point out, taking a drag of my smoke. Bear pours me another whiskey and hands it to me. I down it in one burning gulp and hold it out for a refill, which Bear obliges, this time filling it almost to the brim. I know, sickening, isn't it? Preppy asks. He winks at me and sits up, lighting a joint. What was really sickening was what had happened to him. Preppy should be dead. For a long time, everyone, including his friends, thought he was dead, but he'd survived and rejoined the land of the living. If Preppy is still smiling after all that happened to him, I should be able to smile. To let Frankie in. To make this shit with her more permanent. I recognize that look, King says. I hadn't realized I'd been staring into my whiskey. What might that be? I ask, looking out the window into the courtyard below at the closed door of the room Frankie's in. The look that says she's gotten to, Bear says, downing his own whiskey. Some people say that a good woman can tame a man. Train him. Make him less violent, King says. He chuckles. It ain't true. It makes you more violent. And it makes you more everything. Ain't that the fucking truth, I say, taking a drag from my smoke. Says the man covered in head to toe in what I assume is someone else's blood, Preppy says. I look down. Kind of forgot about that. Been there, Bear says. We all have, King says. Ditto, triple O, something like that. Me too is what I'm trying to say, Preppy chimes in. The three of them laugh, and as hard as I try not to join them, I can't help the slow rumble that starts as the jiggle of my chest and shoulders until I'm joining Bear, Preppy, and King in an all-out fit of laughter. Motherfuckers. I laugh all the way back down to the room. I open the door, and the laugh falls from my lips, and my heart falls from my body. Frankie's gone.
Chapter 50 Frankie. Okay, let's do this, Rage says, pulling out a long knife. She's standing behind me, and I'm sitting down facing the mirror above the dresser in her room at the club. She turns the knife over, inspecting it. After a few seconds, she seems lost in the glint, shining back at her as she turns it over and over. I clear my throat, and she looks up at my reflection in the mirror. So how do we do this? I ask. Should we do a count to three? I think that's the best way. Ouch! Or I can just do it now, Rage says, having already made the thin slice into my skin below my ear. That works too, I mutter, trying not to wince in fear she'll take off an ear. Rage twists her lips while she works to shove the small device just below my skin under my ear. When she's done, she covers the wound with a flesh-colored patch that matches my skin. That should do it. Any words of advice? I ask her. Rage lifts her large blue duffel bag that says Lee County High School on the side and throws it over her shoulders. She shrugs. Don't die. She opens the door and I follow her out into the darkness of night. We reach the back gate and she crouches down, tossing her bag through before crawling through herself. Don't die, I repeat to myself on a whisper. I get on my hands and knees and follow her through the fence. I'll try to remember that one. As we move through the dark, I remember why I'm doing this. The corner of the surveillance video image I didn't show Smoke. The bundle of wrapped towels Griff was carrying in his arms when he left Morgan's house. I take a deep breath and push forward. The pair of tiny pink feet poking out the bottom. Chapter 51 Frankie. You're Rage?
Griff asks, adjusting his glasses as if it would make her morph from a girl to a guy. I pictured someone different. He's wearing the hat, the one from the surveillance video, white with a black stripe above the brim. Someone with a little more penis, perhaps? I get that a lot. Rage says, pursing her lips and looking bored. She looks so calm, so together. I wish I could feel that way, or at least fake it better, because I'm shaking from the inside out. My stomach is twisting, as if it decided to take up gymnastics. But even with this level of fear coursing through me, I can't help but notice that Rage and I make a good team. Griff looks amused. He sucks his top teeth and steeples his fingers. That's exactly what I was expecting. If a dick is what you want, I can cut one off one of your guys and give it to you. Would that make you feel better? She pulls her blade from the sheath. Griff smiles. His overly tanned skin is in contrast with his two white teeth. Rage, growing impatient, shoves me forward and I fall onto the ground on my knees. My chin bounces off the concrete since my hands are bound behind my back. What's this? A gift? For me? Griff asks, looking down at me like I'm a species of goat he's never seen before. He places his fingers under my chin and I jerk my head from his touch. This buys me a backhand to my cheek. I see stars. Frankie Hellburn, Rage says. Word is she stole from you. Consider her an offering to prevent the war and the deaths of my brothers that would happen if this bitch keeps hiding behind the walls of my club like a scared bird, instead of taking her punishment like a woman. Rage explains. Now, say thank you like a good boy, so I can get the fuck out of here. It's cold and dark and dusty in this fucking place. You're like Batman without the cool car. She gives Griff a once-over. Or the good looks. Griff ignores her insult and glances down to me. You don't care that I'm gonna kill her? He asks, straightening his jacket as if it will make him better looking. Rage rolls her eyes and tightens her hair tie around her long blonde ponytail. We all die, Griff. Don't act like that's a surprise to you. We're all just biding our time until we meet the dirt again. I'm just buying us a little more time is all. One in exchange for many. I hear that's how morals work. I'm giving it a shot. Do we have an agreement? The bitch for laying off my club? Griff places his hand under his chin and pauses for a moment. We have a deal. Another man comes up and yanks me off the floor, roughly pushing me across the room and tethering me to a small metal chair. Rage doesn't look in my direction when I yelp as he tightens the knot on my wrists, cutting off my circulation. You don't care that Smoke won't be happy with this revelation? Griff asks curiously. His voice is high-pitched for a man's. He sounds like a grandmother from Queens. I don't know what you've heard, but there's bad blood between me and Smoke, Rage says. I know people think I abandoned him, just packed up and left, but he's the one who broke up the team. He left me, so he didn't have to split the paycheck two ways anymore. So you see, there's no love lost between us. I'm actually looking forward to seeing his face when I tell him I'm the one who brought his bitch back to the kennel. But Smoke's mine. To kill, to let live, he's mine. That's part of the deal. Searcher, Griff orders suddenly, and I'm hoisted out of my chair and patted down. There are hands and fingers everywhere, and I mean everywhere. My eyes water from the painful intrusions. Rage still looks bored, buffing her nails on her pink t-shirt that reads, White Girl Wasted, until they toss me back down onto the chair with such force my tailbone stings. We done here? Rage smooths down her ponytail and taps her foot impatiently. We're done here, Griff says after his men give him a nod that assures him I've got nothing hidden on my person.